We turn now to the reading of the scripture, and we begin near the beginning in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, where Moses is conveying the Ten Commandments to the people. Join with me in prayer. Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people, for we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear then the word of God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. But God rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And a reading from the 118th Psalm. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we begin a 10-part sermon series on what I did on my summer vacation.
No, I'm...
You're laughing. Sit tight. This could take a while. No, actually, I'm sure that will show up from time to time in some of our sermons. And then 2 weeks from today, today we thought Kathy and I would share the sermon, but we're a little rusty at writing sermons. So 2 weeks from today, we're going to share the sermon, and we'll hit a few of the highlights of what we did do on our summer vacation. But today we're just going to talk about creation and recreation. And you know, the Bible starts with creation, with God creating everything. And of course, whatever God creates, God has an adjective for it. God says, that's what? Haha, someone was at the first service. Thank you. God says, that's good, right? But God did not speak in English. God was not an American. God spoke Hebrew. So the Hebrew word for good is tov. So when God created the light and the sun and the moon and the stars, God said, that's tov. Come on, help me out here. That's tov. Okay, you're picking it up here. That's good. So God creates the land and separates the land from the waters and creates the vegetation on the earth. And God says, that's tov. All right, good. And then, of course, God creates all the living things, the birds of the air and of the sea and of the land. And God says, that's tov. And then last, certainly not least, God creates humankind. God, male and female, God creates the men and women. And of course, at the end, God says, that is really, truly tov. And then what does God do? God stops. God's done, and the Bible rather amazingly tells us that this God, who is all-powerful, omnipotent, all-knowing, everything, God rests. God takes a day off. Now, if the God who is omnipotent, who created all things, takes time off, then probably that's a good idea for us, too. Karl Barth, the theologian, said that God takes that day of rest in order to show God's love for us, for human beings, by how? By spending time with his creation, by spending time with the people he's created. You know, time is really the greatest gift. The hardest gift to buy for, at least for me, and I'll bet for many of you, was always Father's Day. What do you get for a dad who really doesn't want any of that stuff, who has enough ties, who doesn't wear t-shirts? What do I get for my dad? I finally figured it out in my late teens. I should give him time. And so I would give him tickets for a Sox game. I think he probably bought, now that I think about it. But still, it was, Dad, just you and I are going to go see the White Sox. He's a South Sider. Sorry to you Cub fans. We're going to Comiskey Park. Later on, for Mom, we're going to go see Barry Manilow. You know, don't let Barry Manilow's not bad. I kind of like Barry Manilow, actually. But those gifts were the ones that were the most memorable, gifts of time spent with each other. And that, of course, is the gift that you gave to Kathy and to me this summer, was a gift of time, the most precious and elusive of gifts. You gave us time, and it was truly Sabbath time. It was truly holy time, time that was set aside so that we could renew and restore our spirits, time so that we could have some time for recreation. And of course, you know the word recreation, take it in two originally, it's to recreate, which is the real purpose of any kind of recreation, whether it's racquetball or football or bridge. It's recreating your spirit. And we were a bit worn out, a bit worn down, and you gave us Sabbath time, holy time, time for recreation. I would bet that most of us in this room feel a little worn out and a little worn down, maybe a lot, from time to time. And you too would benefit from an opportunity like this, and Kathy and I are all too aware of how fortunate and blessed we are to have received this gift from you. And we'll always be grateful to you for that, because that gift that you gave us is one that will last the rest of our lives. You know, we flew to Los Angeles May 13th, Wednesday, May 13th, for our daughter Amy's graduation. On May 14th, Thursday, May 14th, I looked at Kathy and I said, all right, one down, 104 days to go. Friday, May 15th, got up and I looked at her and I said, all right, Kathy, 2 days down, 103 to go. Saturday, May 16th, woke up, looked at Kathy, said, don't even say that. And in what is perhaps a rare moment of wisdom, I honored that request and counted our days no more. But we knew, of course, that that time, as long as it was going to come to an end. And we knew that we would return, as we have, rested and renewed and recreated and ready to jump back in. But as the summer went on, we started to think about, well, how do we keep something like this going? How do you build in some Sabbath time? How do we do a better job of really recreating our souls on an ongoing basis? You know, we're tempted to think if we just had a little more time, we'd do that, you know? If you had a 26-hour day, that would make the difference, those extra 2 hours. If you had an 8-day week, that would be enough. You'd have that extra day. But you know what we do if we had a 26-hour day or an 8-day week. We'd fill it up. We'd fill it up with things to do or with our loneliness, but it would all be full. So what we need here is not more time. What we need is a practice, a habit, a spiritual intention. And that's why God gave us this commandment, that you would honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, that you would take 1 day a week and you would build in holy time. You would set aside time for renewal and restoration and recreation. And so for Christians, Sunday became the day of rest. And it was really a day of rest for the longest time. For the longest time, you couldn't do anything on a Sunday. Some of you know, remember those days all too well, when Sunday meant church and then home all day. Nothing was open. There weren't entertainment options. Now, of course, things have gone to the opposite extreme. There are thousands of other opportunities out there, things on television, kids' sports, malls to visit. We've gone too far the other way, and Sunday now is a day like any other day, for many people anyway, a day to be filled and scheduled and calendarized. So how, in our busy, scheduled, calendarized world, how do we keep Sabbath? How do we keep time holy? Well, one of the places we went on our trip on technology, there we go, was a little town in the French Alps called Chamonix, where one of the first Winter Olympics was held. And it's this gorgeous village. You know, it's touristy. Sure, it's got the shops, you know, with all kinds of things. But rising right from the village center almost is this, you can barely see it, it was so sunny and gorgeous there, but this incredible mountain, Mont Blanc, and many other peaks, pinnacle peaks, spectacular jagged rocks and ice. And there's a huge glacier descending down from Mont Blanc that threatens to gobble up this town. One of the things we did there was to ride the cable car, which goes up the mountain, and then when it gets to the top, not all the way to the top of Mont Blanc, but a good, I don't know, 10 or 11,000 feet, you know, just a little bit up there. Then there's another cable car that will take you across the Alps to the Italian side of the Alps. And it's a 45-minute cable car ride. And there's one place in those 45 minutes where you go through, you hit another little peak and where this cable is suspended. Otherwise, and that's fairly early, most of this is one long, huge cable that you're on for 45 minutes. And you're surrounded by some pretty amazing scenery. Up. Come on. Be good. Here's some amazing scenery. This is just so you know we were really there. But you have 45 minutes surrounded by these incredible, gorgeous mountains, one after the other. That's Mont Blanc, 15,000 and some feet. And that's all you can see is glacier and rock and ice and snow. It's really quite stunning. 45 minutes one way over to the Italian side, 45 minutes back. Now, when we got going, that's what it looks like. There are little groups of three cable cars, and we had one to ourselves, which was nice, but we had been going maybe 10 or 15 minutes when all of a sudden, if you've been on a cable car, you might have had this experience, the thing stopped. And you know, when cable cars stop unannounced, it's not a pleasant experience. There's this shudder, 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 and then this gentle sway. And you're looking down a couple hundred feet into these crevasses and these glaciers, and you're thinking, if we go, no one will ever find us. And it stops. And you're there for 90 seconds, 2 minutes, and, you know, it's gorgeous. And then it starts up again. You think, okay, they fixed it, whatever it is. Well, 15 minutes later, shudder, 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 it stops. Okay, something must not quite be right. Well, by the third time this happened, I figured, well, this is not a big deal. This just happens, okay? They just have some malfunction that's a regular thing. And so we said, we're going to enjoy this. So we roll down the windows and we stick our heads out. Amazing. I mean, the view was amazing. But then when you stick your head out, cool air and silence. Total, complete silence. And this gorgeous 360 degrees of mountain and ice. You were almost sorry when the cable car got started again, but then you knew 20 minutes later it would happen again, and sure enough it did, and happened all the way over to the Italian side, and it happened all the way back to the French side. Well, we got back and I actually read the brochure that they handed us, and it turns out, well, they actually do this on purpose. The cable car stops on purpose so that you can stop and pause and look out the window and hear the sound of the silence. Now, you know, this was these people, I mean, they want to show you the mountains, these cable car people, but, you know, they want to make money, and they have people standing in line to get on these cable cars. You know, they're trying to make a buck, and the more people they get in their cable cars, you know, the more they're going to make. But for some reason, they didn't plan it that way. They built in these stops, these regular periodic stops, so you could really drink it all in without that little hum of the cable in the background. They actually built in, I don't know if they were planning on it, maybe they were. Maybe if you live in that wonder, maybe you do see that that is really holy time. They build in holy time. Now, if a cable car operator who's trying to make a buck off tourists can build in Sabbath time, holy time, then I think we can too. We can. All of us can. You know, the purpose of Sabbath time at the beginning, God said, is for rest. Rest from work. You know, certainly to give our bodies a break originally, because all labor used to be physical. To build in time where we're not doing what we always do. To rest from commerce, you know, from going out to the malls and doing things and buying things. Really, that means rest from being seduced into that idea that we have to have something more to really be happy. We're going to find out whatever it is to make us happy or satisfy us is going to be out there. You know, to rest and realize maybe that comes, that satisfaction comes from a different place. Rest from anxiety. You know, we all have things we worry about, things we're afraid of. A break, a God-imposed break from that. So a rest from those things and a rest to connect to the God who gave us this life in the beginning and to connect to each other, because that's the purpose for which we were made. But how do you do that? How do you do that in this busy, crazy world we live in? Well, one of the ways is doing what you're doing right now, which is you come to worship. You set aside an hour each week to come and put your focus. You know, all of us have our own desires, our own plans, our own activities, our own things that rightly keep us busy. But we come once a week to this place to lift those cares and worries and concerns up to God and realize we're part of something bigger. We're connected to each other. There's something profound, something far more deeper than we usually are aware of. Someone said worship is important to them because they step out of the center of their own circle, their own life, and they realize they're really part of this amazing life that God has given to all of us. So there's worship, surely. But there's also just time for renewal, for that recreation of the soul. And that's different for all of us, what recreates the soul. You have to know what it is that does it for you. What are the activities that give you life? You know, we used to always work with our hands. Now we don't. So for some of you, I know it's gardening or flowers. I mean, I see what you do with your yards, and that's what renews your soul, is being out and digging in the good earth and bringing things to life. I know I love football, but, you know, if I watch football for 4 hours or 6 hours or 9 hours in a day, that's really not all that renewing. I come out of that sort of just trashed and video overwhelmed, even if the Bears did win. But you go out and you throw a football a little bit, that's renewing. What are the things that are renewing? Losing yourself in a book, becoming part of someone else's world, seeing the world through their eyes. A nap maybe is renewing. Being out in nature, whether it's as stunning as that or whether it's just really looking at the tree right outside your own front door. Or a feast. You know, Sundays used to be called a feast day. You know, it's every Sunday is a little Easter, a little feast day. But part of Sabbath time is a meal, sharing a meal where you're not racing from one thing to the next, where you actually can connect. Do those things happen automatically? No, they happen because you make them happen. And if a cable car operator who's trying to make a buck can make holy moments happen, we can too. And sometimes that's all it takes, is a moment. Maybe it's a moment on your way to work while you're driving, or in the train, or a brief break at home, where you say, I need some time, just a little bit of downtime. You know, Buddhist communities, some of them ring chimes, and whenever the chimes ring, and I think they're actually random, they're not meant to be timed, they're random, and when the chimes ring, everyone stops what they're doing, just for a moment, and centers themselves on the divine presence. So maybe you could pick something after you hang up the phone, or when your doorbell rings, or something sort of random in your life, and whenever it is you do that, that's a moment where you stop for 30 seconds, for a minute, and open yourself to the presence of God. Or maybe use those breath prayers that we put in the bulletin every week. Today's is a perfect one. You know, if you're a person that is in a difficult time, and we all have them, a time where you really are overcome by fear or worry or doubt, to take a couple of Sabbath minutes where you just open yourself up to the presence of God. And that breath prayer today, O Lord Jesus Christ, as you breathe in, grant me your peace as you breathe out. And as you do that slowly and calmly, you make room for the peace of God in your own troubled soul. Or maybe in your own house even, you physically take whatever it is that's bothering you in your heart and you physically lift it up to God and say, Lord, carry this for a few moments and instead give me your peace. Whatever it is, find a way for in just a minute or two, you can center yourself on the living God. Maybe you even go to a place, a favorite place in your mind. I don't have to look at that photograph to know what being in that place is like. I can imagine right now my head out the window hearing the grace of silence in that place. And there's something healing about it and holy about it even now. If cable car operators trying to make a buck can create holy time, you and I can do it too. Pray with me. Gracious God, in the midst of all the demands on our time, all the craziness, all the busyness, help us in our own ways to find our Sabbath, to find our holy time, so that our souls may be recreated in your image. Amen.